Halloween's coming.
Yes.
The end.
That was spooky.
No, I couldn't think of anything. I feel like the beginning of the show here is where we should be the most interesting.
Yeah. It's all downhill after that.
Strike three today.
Yeah.
You go ahead.
Okay.
And give me one of your favorite interesting Halloween facts.
I like candy.
This is an exercise in futility. Welcome to episode 199 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany, and with me as always is...
Adam, Vancouver, BC.
What is going on, Adam?
Oh, there's so much going on.
There's a lot going on.
Tons of stuff going on. Actually, this week there is stuff going on.
Right.
Yeah, no, I'm serious.
Before we get into that, I don't want to dwell on it. I don't want to make it about us. But you're going to? No. I just feel like if we don't mention it, it's kind of weird.
Okay.
The incident in Ottawa this week.
Oh, okay. Happened. I didn't know. I'm not going to comment.
No, I don't wish to comment either. Like I said, I don't want to just ignore it and pretend it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not a fun week. I said, ultimately. The weird thing about it was it made me oddly homesick. Like for the first time in a long time, it was just, I felt like I should be there. I should be in Canada, you know, like as if I could do anything or would do anything. I mean, like you're as far away from it as I am almost. And you know, it's not like you could do anything I don't even know what I mean by do something. It was just such a strange thing, such a strange feeling to be over here while that was unfolding and that, but that is all.
Yes, I get tired of the coverage.
Well, that's interesting. That part I will comment on. I appreciated the Canadian coverage an awful lot.
Okay.
I mean, I'm assuming it was overwhelming when you're in Canada and every channel must have been showing something.
Oh, yeah. You couldn't watch SportsCenter because they had to get the comments from the athletes. So no, that's where it gets to the point where I got to turn the TV off. So, and I also think that in the rest of the world, I mean, I think they look at that Canada on this one and might be like, really, you know, this, I mean, granted it's an awful thing and awful things happen. They also happen globally. And I feel like the rest of the world would look at us on this and, you know, 5 days into it, be like, really, really? You still going on it, right?
Oh, I see. Well, yeah.
SportsCenter 3 days later, put it that way. It's just,
yeah, SportsCenter. I don't get SportsCenter here. You know, most of my coverage comes on, like, you know, on the CBC News websites and stuff like that. And so I kind of choose where and when I see it. But just in terms of the style of coverage of, you know, the CNN versus the CBC, it was vastly different.
Yeah, no, and I'm not saying anything about that way. And it's not about the story itself; it's about the overkill. And just I was sort of anti overkill when it comes to this stuff. I feel like it's all done to sell ad time, and it's not about the story anymore. It's about what the media can glean from it, and that's the part that I have a hard time with.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, I hadn't thought of that because of the being over here in a bubble. So maybe I'm glad I was here for it then.
Yeah, again, I think I'm different in terms of the way I look at this stuff, and I do have a hard time digesting the I feel like in the back room somewhere of CNN and CBC, everybody's high-fiving when stuff like this happens because they're figuring out how much money they can make off of it, and that's the part that really doesn't sit well with me. I'm a proud Canadian.
what did Louis Pisaglia think?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Or the entire Ottawa Senators team or the Toronto Maple Leafs or anybody else.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Anyways, moving on, Amazon.
You struck a chord there.
I did strike a chord. I hadn't thought of it in that respect.
Yeah.
Amazon.
Yes.
You bought anything on Amazon lately?
No.
Really?
No, I haven't.
I now, to be fair, the Canadian Amazon isn't quite the Amazon as other countries.
Okay.
I think you guys only have books, pretty much. Maybe a few more items.
Right.
Like I don't think the selection is as huge in the different categories, is what I'm saying to you. So it's, I understand what you're like. For instance, I don't know if you can buy chickpeas on Amazon, Canada.
Right. I don't know.
I have bought them on the German one. So there you go. I bought an ear hair trimmer this week.
Great.
Yeah, hello, ladies. I gotta figure Clooney trims his ears, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Now that he's married, yeah.
Oh, now that he's married, no. That was it. He shuts her down now.
But you're married.
It's a good point. Good point.
You just started caring now?
I'm hoping Clooney notices me. Yeah. And I bought a micro USB cable.
Okay.
Unrelated to the hair trimmer.
Yeah. I thought maybe it's so you could get updates.
That would be ideal.
Yeah.
No, those are just two random things I purchased on Amazon this week. But more importantly, if you do buy random things on Amazon, click through our site. It helps us out.
Great.
There you go.
I bought something too this week, but not on Amazon.
What'd you buy?
I bought myself a studio strobe. I pulled the trigger.
Nice. The Alien B, the what do you call it? The Paul Buff?
Yep. The Alien B 800, the middle one, the 320 watt one.
Nice.
Yeah, so it was a Craigslist buy. Over in Victoria.
Oh wow. So yeah. Had you planned that prior to the Victoria trip or did you stumble on it?
You know, I planned it prior. Just I was looking on Craigslist for quite some time. The Alien Bees go up and they get sold relatively quickly. And when they don't, they're because they're some kind of scam that they never respond to your requests. And there's a few sitting there that have been there for like 8 months. But
right.
any legit ones seem to go up and sell real quick. So I saw that there was one in Victoria. And I emailed the guy and said I was going to be there for the weekend. And, you know, bing, bang, boom, there you go. And I bought it. It was a guy that actually had a little photography business. And, it was a great transaction. It was one of those, you know, I was telling you the good and bad of Craigslist a while back when I was buying something else. But this was definitely the good. So the B800 is sort of, I think, for those that care, is a studio strobe. And you buy it on Paul Buff, but you can only buy it on Paul Buff. It's not sold at retailers. So It is one of those things that either you buy it direct from Paul Buff, and being in Canada, the shipping is a bit of a pain, and the duty and trying to ship it to the US is a problem. They want payment by money order up front, according to the website and when I've tried to purchase. So you have to, it's a little bit of work for those in Canada getting one, or you're going to pay through the nose on the duty and the whatever the UPS is going to charge you when they show up at your door.
So how does that affect the resale price in Canada when you buy it from Craigslist?
Yeah, basically used, they sell for pretty much exactly the same price as they do new, but because of the Canadian conversion and the dollar's lower, it ends up to be basically you're buying it new minus the tax. That's what it boils down to.
So all these guys smuggling drugs into Canada, they should smuggle Paul Buff studio strobes in instead.
Absolutely. And they seem to really hold their value well. But at the same time, I think, you know, the record that people say as far as them lasting is they last and last and last. And the bulbs are rated to something crazy, like 250,000 flashes just on one bulb. And replacing the bulb is only like $30. So,
wow.
Yeah. So I think most people, like people don't even ask like how many, you know, how old is it or any of that stuff, just because it's kind of a commodity that seems to stand the test of time. So bottom line is, yeah, I could use it for a year and turn around and sell it for what I paid for it.
Nice.
Yeah. So I haven't really had a chance to sort of tinker with it. Oh, but going back to the good experience part, he threw in, you know, stuff that we didn't even talk about. Like I texted him back and forth a couple times prior to the getting together, dropped the two hosers and thinking, oh, this is really going to make this transaction awesome. And I don't know if that was the reason why or not, but he commented about the 200 episode thing, being pretty impressed by that, and decided to bring me a free grid for it. And he brought me a reflected umbrella for it. All stuff that we hadn't talked about, just sort of brought and threw in the day of. Again, having his own little photography business, I think he had some extra stuff kicking around and just really sweetened the pot for no particular reason at all.
Nice.
So there you
go.
Had he
heard of the show prior to you?
I don't think so.
No.
I mean, he didn't really say, oh yeah, you're legendary or anything like that.
Right.
But no, he did seem impressed by the 200 episodes and said that he will give it a listen. So
do you want to use his name now? First name?
His name was Gord, and it was something along the company he was something along the lines of West Coast Photography, I think is what it might have been called.
Yeah, as long as you're close,
yeah,
that's
based
fine.
Out of photography, and yeah. Super great interaction from Gord. So there you go.
Yes,
Gord.
Yes.
Hopefully, Gord. This endorsement makes you a millionaire.
Gord from maybe West Coast Photography.
Yeah,
and sailing, yeah. West Pacific National Sailing Corporation.
Oh, but I had another little offshoot story about this strobe that goes back to something I saw last year. So do you want to hear the story now that I've introduced it so much?
Yeah.
Okay, so those strobes are, like that strobe in particular, is meant to be triggered optically. So thinking of using it in the studio when you set up one flash, or you could have multiples of that flash. When one goes, the other ones go, right?
Correct.
So there's different ways to trigger it. There's a remote system, or you could plug in a sync cable directly from the flash to your camera or to a trigger, blah, blah, blah. But if nothing is plugged into the sync port, it fires automatically in optical mode. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So last year, I don't know if I talked about this or not. I think I talked about it off the air with you. I went to a Christmas party where they'd hired a professional photographer.
Correct.
And they had one of these studios strobes set up to take Santa photos of all the kids as they'd come up with Santa and get their little present. Well, the photographer had a similar flash that was tripped optically, and as people stood around and fired their own pictures of their own kid with the Santa, the strobe was getting triggered left, right, and center. So often, you know, three cameras would pop, and then the strobe would pop, and the photographer was sitting there going, oh my God, what do I do? Right? And was just completely flustered. And I watched it all happen, and I was kind of chuckling to myself going, they have no idea what to do here. Like, they literally have to get everybody to stop taking a photo, or it's going to mess up their whole setup here, because they didn't have a radio triggering device for this.
Right.
So as I was kind of reading through the manual, I came across it going, all right, that good to know. There is no off for that. You have to basically, as soon as you plug in a sync cable, or you could use an actual sync cable, or just a dummy cable that's got a 3.5 millimeter stereo plug on the one end, as soon as you plug into it, it thinks now you're radio triggering it, so it will not work that way.
Interesting.
Yeah, so there you go.
I ran into a similar situation with my old Apple TV.
Okay.
I decided, like, I had the old gray one with the big hard drive in it, and it was because, you know, you can't use it. It doesn't really, you know, for whatever reason. But I thought, I'm going to put all my music on here and just use it as a music server.
Okay.
Genius idea, Alan.
It's a good idea.
Yeah, except for it doesn't work unless there's a TV plugged into it.
Really?
It picks up the exact similar situation as the as your flash there. So I figured out, well, if I actually, there's more than one TV option. You can do composite. So if you take the composite, which means that you can plug in the red, green, blue.
Right.
And then plug that into the TV as well. So if you plug the green into the red of the own Apple TV, of the Apple TV.
Right.
But don't go to a TV. Just go from out of the Apple TV and back into the Apple TV.
Right.
It thinks it's plugged to a TV, and you fool it.
Override.
Yeah, so if anyone out there is trying to use your old Apple TV as a music server, that's how you do it.
There you go. Something.
Of course, you have to then control the Apple TV with your iPad or iPod with right. the remote function.
Yeah.
Because you have no, otherwise you have no visual way to play the music.
Gotcha.
So there's that. So if I do recommend picking one up, if you can get one on eBay or Craigslist from Pacific Coast Photo, definitely pick one up. They're not going to be very much money, and they're make for a great music server.
Now, do you want to know what my next purchase needs to be after getting this strobe?
I do.
It's got to be one of those portable inverters, like a battery to take this thing on the go.
The Vagabond.
Yeah. So I mean, I looked at that.
That's the brand name of theirs, isn't it?
Of the Paul Boff one, which is by far, I mean, in terms of the limited research I did, by far the best deal going for something like this. So it's small and it's like a lithium battery that you can just, it comes with a little clamp, so you can clamp it right to your light stand and give you a portable power supply for one of these studio lights. So that one's the only one that's meant specifically for that light. I guess you could use it for other batteries, but they say no guarantees on whether it'll work at all. So I probably will have to get that battery, but it also seems like the best option for the price. So even if I were to get dinged on
shipping
and duty and all that, it will still be cheaper than the next option.
I don't know that it's specific to that model, just simply because I think the Vagabond just has basically like 110 plugs in it.
Okay. I don't know.
Outlets,
they just talk about it right on their website. I mean, I know a lot of, you know, companies do this. It's, you know, only use it with our product kind of thing. But I'd seen the comment from other photographers when I was doing the research that this was the only one that was even, you know, guaranteed to work and not harm your light or any of that.
Absolutely. That I understand. Sure. Yeah. And I think you can do a lot of stuff with it. I think, you know, you could run your iPad, you know, charge your iPad off of it. Like it just basically runs as a power source.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. For other things. So definitely get one of those. You're turning into Joey L at this point.
Yeah, I know.
That's you. You're that. Yeah. You're almost that guy.
Yeah. My problem is I love stuff.
Oh, stuff.
Yeah. And when it comes to photography, like I love photography stuff. So, I mean, but the other thing is I also love Craigslist, and I don't mind if I'm not using something, I don't mind selling it. Like I sell camera stuff, and I have no problem with getting rid of stuff I'm not using. I'm not a big hanger on of things that I don't find functional use for. So I do feel that it's okay if I get something like that and I use it, or if I don't use it, I turn around and sell it. And the beauty of most of this stuff is it holds its value very well.
Yes.
So.
See, I am bad at that. I am bad at offloading stuff because I do this stupid math in my head where I'm like, well, you know, if I only get this much for it, you know, like it's probably worth it. I could probably squeeze, you know, X amount of dollars out of it for the next year and a half, and really just holds doors open in my basement.
Right.
You know,
right.
I'm like, what am I going to do with $30, you know?
Yeah.
But that adds up, and it's a stupid way of thinking, and I wish I was more like that where I could just offload it instead of the opposite of onloading it.
Right.
Yeah.
But just in the little tinkering, here's the other tie-in is the Yongnuo triggers. So I got a little, this again, Gord gave me a little PC cable. So it goes from the sync of the flash to a PC in, which could be direct in your camera, or those Yongnuo 622 triggers have a PC in port.
Correct.
So the beauty of that is, because not all radio triggers do, is I can just plug the studio light into the Yongnuo trigger, and then the other Yongnuo transceiver goes on the camera, and then boom, you're away to the races in a radio triggering mode, so that if you were to take this somewhere where there was some other flash going off, you would be able to trigger it in isolation.
And I mean, plus it is more reliable generally than an optical trigger. Like if you're inside somewhere, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
If you're outside and you're trying to use it outside, it doesn't fire as often as you'd like.
Right. So
the optical one. So
probably go that route most of the time because that's just such a simple setup. So, and then I can, you know, trigger that at the same time as I can trigger one of my 430EX speed lights and have my whole sort of studio set up between, you know, the big studio light, if I want a more power mixed with some of the less powerful speed lights, I've got more than enough lighting to pretty much do anything I can fathom right now.
Now, once you plug that into the PC port with the cable that you got there. No more ETTL.
Right. Well, the light's not ETTL no matter what, so it's manual no matter what. So it doesn't really affect me one way or the other for that. So I'm going full manual when I'm using that light.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I bought a new monitor.
Great.
Yeah.
For video editing.
Well, no, just a computer monitor.
What? Like, did your last one kick it?
Yes, it broke.
Oh.
It broke down. Like, it's been slowly doing that. I couldn't figure out why. Like, I would turn the thing on a couple months ago. I would turn it on, and it would basically take a couple of minutes to turn to fire up. And I thought, oh, man, did I hit some eco setting or something I didn't know about?
Right.
But the monitor's like 8 years old, so I don't think there was eco settings then. And so then I went away to Canada and came back, and the problem persisted, except instead of 2 or 3 minutes, it turned into 20, 25 minutes it would take to warm up. And then finally, the colors just went boom. So the colors were all, everything was green, and that was it. Monitor's done. So I had to go buy a new one. They are dirt cheap now.
Great. What did you get?
I'm not sure if I'm happy with it yet. I bought a Samsung, a big 24-inch widescreen one.
Okay.
But the issue is it only connects via VGA, which is an analog signal.
Right.
Or HDMI, which was typically a video, like a movie video TV signal.
Right.
I had all the adapters for it, so it was no problem. But I typically would use an HDMI. No. What did I say? DVI already?
Yeah, DVI.
I meant to say it connects via this one connects via HDMI, which is like your the one that you plug your Blu-ray
TV,
player in.
Yeah, into your TV or your video game console or whatever.
Right. So typically I would use a DVI, which is a more of a computer thing. But I think a lot of them are just going with the HDMIs now.
So you can double it as a TV or whatever.
I guess. I don't know why, if they're just, amalgamating everything into one connection, which doesn't sound like them. They like to keep everybody confused and buying way more cables than you need.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I brought it home and plugged it in, and it works okay, but my MacBook Pro thinks it's a TV.
Right.
So it doesn't give me all the options I would normally expect. So I just got it yesterday, got a lot like late last night, so haven't had a chance to check it all out. The picture looks great, though. Big, giant screen, and so looking forward to editing some photos with that. Hopefully my colors will be bang on now.
Good.
So that might have been an issue before, even though I calibrated, and the thing was broken, so wasn't doing too good of a job. But now it looks really good, so I'll keep everybody in the loop.
Great.
Did you shoot anything interesting this week? I guess it was just all purchases.
I did shoot some interesting stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. I shot some engagement photos for your sister.
You shot photos of my sister.
Yeah. This is going to get awkward.
Which does sound, normally in the past. Yeah. Don't tell her new husband.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So no, you're, I guess through your recommendation, maybe, your sister is getting married. As you know, you're probably invited.
That wasn't my recommendation. No,
I hope you were invited, but, no, your sister asked me to do her wedding photos and if I would take some engagement photos. So we did this, last weekend, right after I did the podcast last week. I went out and I took pictures of your sister and her fiance down in Vancouver near the beach.
Right. And,
so, I took photos. No, they're in your Dropbox. You can take a look at them. I haven't posted any yet, but by the time this airs, they will be posted. I intend to do it after we finish podcasting today. I'll put up a few in Facebook, and I'll put one or two on my website, and people can have a look. So I was happy with how they turned out. We had a bit of a challenge with light in terms of it was kind of sunny, cloudy, where every 30 seconds the light would change. Mm-hmm. So it was one of those. And so I did bring along a speed light and the softbox and the cue box. And so some I did with light, some I did without. It kind of depended on what was happening, but it was constantly changing. But I was happy with the result. We spent about maybe a little over an hour, and we got a whole bunch of different kind of looks. But Yeah, no, I was happy. I hope they're happy. They seemed happy. So
I think so. I saw them. They're great. They're great.
So, there you go. I will post those so other people can tell me how great I am.
Oh, that's the best part of Facebook, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, everybody kind of says you're great. So you kind of get, you know, it's one of those things that are, all right, I wish some people would just say this is horrible so that you could kind of gauge. Like, and if they agree with what I think is horrible, then I would have a better gauge for what's good.
I actually agree with you wholeheartedly.
Yeah. Yeah. I really need somebody to call somebody else out on their family picture for just horrible lighting. And I, you know, just this is an awful picture instead of everything is great pick.
Well, the family one, yeah. Like that, the family always does that, which yeah. I don't understand. This is why I'm not really friends with my family. on the Facebook. No, in life too.
Yeah.
No, but on Facebook, we don't have much of a Facebook relationship on purpose.
Right.
Because I don't need that. I was thinking about Facebook, actually, now that you mention it. Thinking about doing, you know, they have the Throwback Thursday, right?
Sure.
Oh, I guess you don't know.
No.
This seems to be a thing. I've not participated, but people, you know, post old photos on Thursday and call it Throwback Thursday.
Oh, I didn't know this. So I'm out of the loop.
Yes, not anymore. Now you're in on it.
Great.
Okay, but I was thinking about, like, I don't know what day, like a Keep It Real Tuesday or something.
Where you just lambaste everybody for their mediocre to terrible pictures.
No, that's not what I meant. But I meant post your... Because everybody posts their highlight reel.
Right.
Like, of life. Not just their best photos, but like their best moment. Like, oh, yeah, here I am. You know, eating at a 5-star restaurant in New York City, and Ben Affleck paid for the meal. You know, like, like, yeah. Hey, just another day.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, generally, you want to... I think you want to post like pictures of your kid crying, or maybe she threw a tantrum, or your wife scraped the car, or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, or you scraped the car. Let's not be sexist. Maybe you did it.
Yeah, could be.
You know, but post that, and I don't mean like the sort of vague one where you're like, oh, having an awful day, pew you, and then walk away from your Facebook,
right?
And everyone, you know, dials 911. Oh my God, what's going on? You have to be specific and go, wow, man, like I stepped in dog crap today and dragged it all across my carpet. I didn't even notice till I got home 3 days later.
Oh.
That kind of stuff. So yeah. I keep it real. And so I'm going to start posting pictures like that of ones. Because people always say, oh, man, like, yeah, you know, you're so lucky. Your kids are so lucky. Like, all your family photos are great. And I'm like, do you think I post the crappy ones?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to.
Yeah, that was sort of the thing too. Just dealing with the engagement photos is your sister asked me, like, I sent her obviously the best photos, and then she said, oh, you know, well, would you send me, you know, low res files of all the rest just so I can have a look? And I responded, no, thank you. I politely declined. I said, I sent those pictures for a reason. Those were the good ones, you know. There's a whole bunch of either not looking at the camera, funny expressions, sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, missed focus, whatever it may be. But I wasn't going to send the rest because I also don't want to make myself look bad, right?
Well, no, she also takes, you know, pictures as well. So she does have some respect for that. I don't know why she would ask.
No. I think it wasn't really on her. It was a bit on me that I kind of said before I'd looked at all the photos. I said, oh, you know, if you like, I'll send you the best photos. If you want the other ones, I can send you raw files or whatever if you want to edit them. And then, you know, did send her the best photos. Clearly there was nothing worth sending her beyond those. And so, then when she asked again, because I had made that initial offer, I was just like, no, there's nothing else for you here.
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
Yeah. So yeah. Anyways, yeah, I understand why photographers, you know, that when they offer a session and this is, they're like, oh, you'll get whatever, 10 to 12 edited photos. Probably that's all that they've got worth sharing with you.
Absolutely. In a short amount of time. Absolutely.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, that was interesting. Great. Good to know.
Tons of interesting.
It was interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. I shot a couple play dates.
great.
Of the kid. Like we haven't seen a bunch of our friends we actually, obviously haven't seen in quite some time because we were gone for the summer and then moving into the house. So we had some friends bring their kids over on different days to play with our kids.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. And so, but I generally, as I mentioned before, I think these parents know that, and I'm going to be home with my camera. Mm-hmm. So it's, they definitely show up looking good, looking like they're going to graduation.
Everyone's been in hair and makeup for 2.5 hours.
Yeah, but I did. I wanted to actually shoot in the new living room with the white wall and stuff. So I set the one flash up real quick in the soft box and just say, hey, everybody, sit down for half a second. Boom, boom, boom. Okay, go back to your play date.
Yeah.
And so they get their portraits and.
You know what's weird is when they show up with their makeup artist. Oh, who's this?
Well, these are guys, so they just get the handle that at home, I think.
Right, okay.
They're only in makeup for half an hour. You know. So yeah. There's that. Photo challenge.
Can we just skip it?
You did.
Yeah. I'm embarrassed by my by my submission this week because I had such high hopes for what I was going to do.
Do you know how many ideas I have for you? Like when I proposed this, because you had the new car. I don't have a new car.
I know. It just, but can I, you know, complain about the fact that I just, combination of completely uncooperative weather. It's been nothing but rain here for the last few days, and also having gone away for the weekend and where I did purchase my flash, just came back last night late and we're doing this in the morning. So, you know, the hours of light are changing. I'm done making excuses. I did not get a chance. So let's talk about my photo for 3.5 seconds, which is to say that I took this on the ferry late last night as we were going back to the car, and I realized I did not have a photo of the car for tomorrow morning. So I said, okay, well, this is it. This is about the only chance. Either I'm going to get soaked at home in the downpour trying to take a photo, or I'm going to take it on the ferry where it's nice and dry. Uh-huh. So I snapped this photo.
And your car is wet. You can see your car's wet.
Oh, yeah. I'm not lying. Yeah. It was pouring, and I've never been on the ferry where it's been so rough. Like, it was crazy. It was just hammering the waves.
Oh yeah.
And I've taken that ferry from Vancouver Island or Victoria to Vancouver many, many times, and that was by far the roughest that it's ever been. So it was an experience. But bottom line is I didn't get a chance to do a photo, so I mailed it in this week and took one. But should we even show the photo? Like, what? It's terrible. My photo. Like, should we even post it?
Oh, no. I've already Twittered it.
Okay. So, perfect. So
it's the hashtag Adam's best. Best you can do.
Yeah. So let's talk about my B photo, because you're gonna show that photo. People will see that it's on a ferry. The end.
I'm not done with it. People, how do you know it's on a ferry? I know it's on a ferry.
Yeah. Now everybody knows it's on the ferry.
I just noticing about the picture, what I'd like to point out. Everybody parks remarkably straight.
Yeah, that's true. Eh? It's like almost like a ruler.
Yeah, that's impressive. I mean, not really. You pull in and stop. That's what you do. All you have to do is drive in a straight line and then stop. And you have those yellow lines there to guide you.
Yeah.
But still, it's quite a lot.
Yeah, and you could, that yellow line, you could basically space it exactly evenly on both sides. So there's my car. That's the Silver Pilot. So I will take a better photo at some point. I'm going to want to say it's this week, but who knows? If the weather doesn't cooperate, I have something elaborate planned. It did not pan out. So can we talk about the backup
photo? You took the
photo?
Wind out of my trashing you sails.
Well, I don't think, I mean, it pretty much goes without saying that.
Because I have some ideas I'm going to throw at you off the air.
For how to make a good photo?
Yeah, but stuff. When I proposed this, because it was, you know, it was for you, I thought I was hanging a curveball out over the plate. But then again, the weather, I understand. But I had like at least three ideas of what I would do were I you.
Okay, I have at least three myself.
What if they overlap?
They all require it not being pouring rain out.
See, one of mine is, it's irregardless.
Oh,
not a word. Yeah. Not a word.
Should I build a garage?
No. No. It could be done. In fact, it would look even better in the rain, I think. It would look awesome because it's a Vancouver. Yeah. But let's go ahead and show your beat. I think this is just a showcase that you do know how to take a photo.
Yes, that's right. Yep. So I took this photo of you way back in, I don't know, was it July? I think it was August when you had borrowed a Porsche from a friend.
Well, let's be more specific.
Okay.
I borrowed a cool Volkswagen.
Yes.
With the Porsche logo on it.
Okay.
It's a Porsche Boxster.
Right.
So I think most people know that Porsche Boxster is like the Volkswagen of Porsche. Sorry, Porsche. It's cool. It's cooler than the Porsche I don't own.
Right.
But it's definitely a PMP, poor man's Porsche.
Right. I actually got that abbreviation before you said it.
Oh, I thought maybe, okay. There you go. Good for you.
Yeah.
So anyways,
I got one in the win column for me.
But it was a lot of fun to drive. You and I drove it out to Dwayne Gervan's workshop that day.
That's right, yeah.
And that was a lot of fun.
Yes.
So I did enjoy driving it. Anyway, so here we go. So you and I went out and shot this at sunset. We shot each other at sunset.
Yeah, yep. But I had to shoot, I was using this as a car photo so I didn't include one of me because you took those. But we just got nice light. Sunset, we parked in front of some boats down in Steveston, and this was lit just from the one softbox. When we were at a different location and we used multiple lights, but we were losing the light quickly, and so this was lit by just the one cue box with a speed light. That's it. So it was camera right, as you can see coming in on the angle of where the light and the shadows are. But I really liked the reflection that the light gave off in the car door. Like, it just kind of looks magazine-like. Mm-hmm. And because sometimes, people, I might myself initially think, oh, maybe I should Photoshop that out, but it kind of frames it with the angle of the windshield, and then that kind of coming right underneath you. I think it kind of creates a cool, not so much a distraction, but a cool kind of framing around the subject, which is you in the car trying to look super, super cool.
Mm-hmm, I agree. So the one question I have is, later on I couldn't figure out why I was holding my stomach in. I mean, you couldn't even see it.
I think that was stupid. You were just in holding your stomach in mode because that was the rest of the photos.
Yeah.
So I looked through the photos and I thought that this was one of the ones I liked the best in terms of it wasn't wildly distracting by your horrific posing.
Correct.
Yeah.
No, correct. Absolutely. Great. Okay.
So there you go. So just to say, if I got good light... Or just for anybody's sake, to say, if you get good light, taking a car photo can be relatively simple. Like, this is just a one light photo, and I think it looks really cool.
Absolutely. I think it looks cool as well. Yeah. Well, it's a two light photo. You use the sunset.
Right. Sorry. Yeah. One artificial light. Yeah. And absolutely. The sunset did help because it was cool looking.
Okay, it was cool looking, and we had the sailboats in there on purpose, or the fishing boats, I mean, not the sailboats, the fishing boats.
Right.
That was part of our motif.
Yes.
Our mise-en-scene. okay, all right, let's have a look at mine.
All right, so yours is the Scooter Boy.
That is the vehicle I had in mind. Just got it fixed. Haven't driven it in a couple of years. We took it in for repairs like 2 years. This is a story, nothing to do with photography at all. Took it in for repairs. It needed a new muffler like 2 years ago. And we got a guy, who handles our automotive repair.
Sure.
And so he replaced the muffler because it's actually a Vespa. So he got the muffler from Italy. And I get it back, and I start driving it around, and it's just got nothing. It's got, like, it won't go. It's got no guts. Like, the engine runs.
How big of a motor is this?
I don't know. The rubber band is new. So I'll tell you that much.
Okay.
That you wind up.
Yeah.
No, it's a smaller one. I forget how. It's not
50 cc's, though, is it? It's bigger than that, isn't it?
I don't know. I honestly never even bought it. It's my wife's.
Do you need a license, separate license for it there?
No, not in Germany. I don't know if you would in Canada. I doubt it.
And once it goes over a certain size, like, I think in Canada, it's like you can drive 49 cc's, but then if you go bigger than that, you need a motorcycle license, I think.
Right. Yeah. So no, I don't have my class six. So, No, I just regular license, but you're limited on what roads you can. You obviously can't take this on the Autobahn.
Okay.
You're not allowed. And regular highways, I think 80 is the limit or something like that, or 100 or something like that. I'm not sure what the limits are.
Okay.
I don't drive very much, but it had no guts left at all. And so I thought, oh wow. And so I asked the guy, hey, listen, he said, oh no, the muffler, you got to break the muffler in. And I said, well, I actually do know that. Like, I do know when you get a new muffler and how it all works, but this is not the case. So long story short, too late, it needed a new flywheel, which he discovered 2 years later. It just basically just sat. I didn't drive it because I didn't need it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he replaced the flywheel, and now it goes like it used to. Not that fast. However, this happened this week, and so when you were excited about your new car, I thought, oh, great, I'll take a picture of the quote-unquote new Vespa, which isn't that new, but boom, that's how I arrived at this.
Okay.
This is probably the second time I've ridden it in 2 years, so here we are, boom.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's your turn to talk.
I'm not sure what to say. I think it has potential of being a good photo, but like, I like the composition. I like the background. I just think that, I wish you had a better day for this. Like, I wish the light was better.
Wow. I picked this day on purpose. I laid in wait for this day to come.
Really?
Yes, I did.
Oh, I just kind of feel like it gets kind of muted. Like, it just sort of gets muted. I like everything about it except for, you know, the color. Like, I wish it was, you know, I don't know, either brighter or dimmer or I don't know, something.
Brighter. I made it dimmer.
Yeah, okay. Well, maybe I'd like it brighter.
I shot this on purpose to be kind of dim. The actual day was gray. Like that is fog. Like this could be my fog photo, yeah, of our ongoing one. It's not going to be.
My wife's bringing me coffee, so sorry. I'm
good for her.
Super happy about it right now.
Wonderful.
Okay, sorry. You did this on purpose. Go ahead.
Well, that doesn't sweeten the deal, does it? I mean, I couldn't. It was a long way to go to get on a ferry, so I couldn't.
Hold on one sec, Lise. What do you think of this photo? This is Al's photo. Let's just live. This is a live.
Motorcycle.
Yeah, what do you think? Scooter. That's a scooter. Do you? Yeah.
I'm not getting him.
No, just say yay or nay. I'm not saying it's bad. Just yay or nay.
I like the blue.
She likes it. There you go.
See, she likes the background.
Yeah, she likes the blue. She didn't want to get involved.
So I did this on. It's okay. It's all right. I did this on purpose. Point being is like I took this. This is a selfie, by the way.
So you got on tripod.
Yeah, this is me driving the thing.
Yeah.
And then also I took the photo. So basically I had it on a tripod. This is a country road between two villages by my house.
Okay.
Like, there's a main road and a country road. And so, like, you know, cars aren't supposed to go on the country road. Scooters are okay, I think. It's mostly for bikes. It's like a bike and farm vehicles, right?
Yeah.
And so anyway, so I go out there this day not realizing that the main road is closed, for one lane's closed, and it's just traffic jam, so everybody's just doing a detour down this road. So I originally had planned on setting my tripod up right in the middle of the street,
mm-hmm,
and then coming right towards it. I couldn't, because as soon as I left for 1 second, a car would come by and basically smash into my camera.
Right.
So that's not good.
No.
Anyway, I shot this way. Basically had the remote on in my left hand that triggered the camera,
mm-hmm,
and the remote that triggered the flash was on the camera itself, basically going in the other direction, because I had taped a Nikon SB28 to, I guess, what you'd call the dashboard.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's firing up into me to light me up.
Trying to make it look like you got some cool blue lights on the dashboard.
I thought of that after. That's probably what I should have done, trying to make it look like that, because as it is, it's just too bright.
Yeah, a little bit too bright. Yeah.
But that wasn't really my intent. I just wanted something that looked cool. I didn't need it to look, you know, authentic.
Oh,
but okay. I did know that I wanted the gray fog to look blue. Mm-hmm. And I also put a full CTB gel on the flash, so it would be blue on me. So even if I ramped it down, like there's, it would even be in bluer than the background blue.
Okay, well, you successfully did all of those things, and I can't, like I say, put a finger on why I don't like it more. I don't know. I looked at this and I said, oh, it's a really good effort just for me. It's missing something. I don't know what it is. And I thought first it's the color, because I do really like the composition. I like the depth you've got here. I like a lot of the components. I like the scooter. I wish it was in some way it stood out more somehow. I know you were trying not to do that, but I'm seeing this photo as something completely different in my head, mm-hmm. That has more vibrance to it.
There's one thing I find missing that I couldn't duplicate in post, is the headlight should be on and mm-hmm. bright.
Yeah.
Now, the headlight is on.
Is it?
It's just that in order to achieve this image, yeah, I have to stop down. Like, this is shot like at F11 at an ISO of 100.
So that light just gets killed.
So that light gets killed, yeah. In order to basically, you know, compress the rest of the image and then allow the flash to happen at 1/250th of a second, because it's the 40D, I had to go down to F11, and that just kills that. So I actually tried to Photoshop in the headlamp to make it look realistic, and P.S., I couldn't.
You know what? I think that might be it. I think you've hit the nail on the head as to what makes me feel uncomfortable about it. Mm-hmm. I think it's that. And now that I'm looking at it, I think if that light would be full blast, then I think it would partially... Wouldn't it illuminate some of that scooter a little bit?
A little bit, yeah. Like a little bit at the front, but mostly it would also sort of lend an authenticity to it.
Exactly, yeah. It would look more realistic, because it looks like it's night, and then all of a sudden you're driving to doom or something.
Doing a day for night, which I've always kind of wanted to talk about, how to do a day for night and make it look good. Because like you know what day for night is?
When you try to make it look like... Day during night, or opposite?
Opposite.
Yeah. Make it look like night during the day.
Yeah, night for day is very expensive if you're outside.
A lot of lights.
Yeah, but they do it inside a lot. Inside, you often shoot, you know, daytime. If you're shooting at somebody's house, let's say, you're going to end up shooting a lot of the daytime stuff at night.
Okay.
Just because you can control the light for the entire shooting day. Whereas in the daytime, or you basically tarp off the house in the daytime anyway, whether it's sunshine or raining or whatever, you block it all out and then add in what you want.
Right.
No, but day for night is the, you know what? Because we've gone so long already, we're going to scrap whatever this week's topic was, and this week's topic is going to be doing day for night, because it's going to be short.
Sweet.
So there you go, buddy. How do we do day for night? Well, day for night, first of all, it's an old technique. Are we done? We done with the photo challenge?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. There you go.
You win.
Well, no. That was obviously.
Except for my photo of you in the car is better than the one of you on the scooter.
Probably. I'm not going to sit and argue which photo of me is better. That's wow. I mean, I have an ego, but come on. Anyways, moving on.
All right.
This week's
day
topic
for night.
Is day now for day night. For night. Well, the good news is I have no notes about this.
You know, best part is this is like Peyton Manning at the line of scrimmage calling an audible.
I just called an audible.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. I don't even have one of those quarterback wristbands where I can look down and go, oh, okay, of course.
No, that's Tom Brady. Peyton doesn't do that.
No, is that true?
Yeah, he doesn't do that.
Okay, so I'm just wiping off the show notes. We're just going to go a cappella here.
Okay.
Okay, day for night. This is when you basically, like they used to shoot movies like this a lot more, because light, you needed a lot of light to expose film.
Okay.
Now with digital, and you know, everybody knows the ISOs can go up to infinity now. So you can actually shoot night for night. You can shoot nighttime stuff at night and make it look like night. You don't need that much light.
Okay.
However, back in the day, and a lot of times now, they still do it, and they're getting better at it. But you might have seen this in certain movies where it gets nighttime. It takes place in nighttime, but it looks kind of goofy. Like, everybody kind of, you can see a lot of stuff. So doing day for night is very difficult to do. But the main reason that you do it is that in real life, night is very dark.
Mm-hmm.
No, write that down.
Yeah, I got it. Dark. Night,
which,
dark.
Which is great, except for when you go to do a movie or a photograph or something like that, you can't just put, you know, a black screen up. That turns into a radio show.
Right.
So you actually have to do, you know, movie dark.
Okay.
Where you can still see people. So how do we do that? Well, what's the best way to make daytime look like night?
In photography?
Yeah, we'll do the photography version because it's the same as movies. It's photographically, here's what we do.
Okay. Can I answer?
Absolutely.
I'm going to say you would just bring the exposure right down, and mm-hmm. then you would add light to your subject.
Pretty much. Kind of what you would do, but let's imagine we're going to shoot in daylight. Okay?
Okay.
Now, again, I'm gonna ruin the illusion for you. You're going to see this. Now you're going to notice this in a lot of movies. When something's happening at night, it's always under a full moon, first of all.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Theoretically, because of the amount of light that comes in. And you look at the backlighting on people. The backlighting is very important, like the rim lighting.
Mm-hmm.
Because here's where we get our separation of our subjects. Because let's say you got your subjects in the forest or whatever they're doing. Maybe it's a horror show or whatever they got going on, and they're going to be underlit. Your background's going to be underlit. How do you separate the two? Boom, rim light, and we pretend it's the moonlight. So that's the first things first, is try to get the sun to the back of your subjects so it performs that little halo move.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now we do stop. We stop way down. We really underexpose by quite a few stops to make it look as if it is, much darker.
Mm-hmm.
That's not enough. The other little move that you do is something called you pull the 85, which is a really funky way of saying that you change the white balance to 32 tungsten.
Okay.
I try not to mess that up because it gets confusing. See, when you're filming, a movie back in the day, and still, if they still shoot film, film is already balanced. You don't dial in the white balance when you're filming. It comes from the factory.
Right.
So you would have two kinds. Your basic tungsten film, which is what you would film, like you turn the lights on. Boom, it exposes, it's kind of yellow, like it's balanced for yellow lights.
Mm-hmm.
You take it outside, everything's blue. So in order to film outside, you put in what's called the 85 filter, which is sort of this salmony pink color that now changes it to be balanced for daylight.
Okay.
So now when you go outside and shoot, the colors are perfect. But if you pull that filter, you pull the 85... Now it goes back to being very, very blue. So far, so good?
Yep. Which you want if you're trying to make it look like night.
Exactamundo. So that's the move that they like to do, is you make it very, very blue. Now in movies, they go ahead and you just add the sound of crickets in the background, and that really sells the illusion. I'm not joking. It's so much so that like you don't notice it because, you know, why would you?
Yeah.
You're going to now.
Yeah.
You know, and so for shooting photos, you obviously don't have that luxury. So you have to rely more on other things, like we talked about, like the lighting. Now you can bring lighting in to augment the effect, but ideally you don't want to overlight it. Like you don't want people to appear properly lit. You want them to be underexposed as you would see them at night.
Right.
Now, where's the challenge come in? Well, if you actually see source lighting in the shot, like if you need to have a porch light on or something like that, now you're in trouble. That porch light has to be extremely bright to register as a normal porch light.
Right.
Because you're underexposing so much to compensate for the sunshine, You have to have that, and that'll end up happening. So you'll see in the cheaper movies when they shoot day for night, they don't always pay attention to that, and you'll see car headlights tend to be very, very dim, or stuff like that. Stuff like source lights that you know would be much brighter in real life are suddenly not very bright at all.
Look for that.
As reflected in my scooter photo.
Right.
So other than that, if you can keep it simple and try to keep source lighting out of it, you can get away with a day for night quite well. And the good news is, I mean, especially now with the instant feedback, like, again, when you were shooting film, you had to get it right. You had to know that, okay, I'm going to underexpose three stops, and that's going to be, you know, that's going to be correct. You had to, you maybe didn't find out for a few days if you got it right or not.
Yeah.
But with you know, being able to look through the camera right now and dial it right in, what you see is what you get, and fire off some test images, you can dial it in pretty quick. Unless, of course, you're taking a picture of yourself on a scooter, then you're out of luck.
Right. What time of day did that photo take place?
Noon.
Wow.
Between 11 and 12, something like that.
You are qualified to talk on this topic.
On doing it badly?
No, just on the fact that you're out there in the day and the everyday grind, making day for night happen.
Yeah. There you go. So that's it.
That's it. Great.
That's it for this week. Day for night out of nowhere. So we'll save the forcing style talk for a future episode.
Oh my God, I'm devastated.
Yes, obviously. Websites. No, next week's challenge.
Oh, it's got to be Halloween.
Yeah, it was. Well, yours is going to be redo your car photo.
Yeah, with some ghastly ghouls hanging out of it.
No, it doesn't have to be that.
No, it's not going to. No, I will try to do a car photo, but like I say, no promises for this week, because I will attempt it, but I don't want to let everybody down. I know everybody's going to be waiting by their computers for that photo to show up.
Will you do a day for night car photo now?
Maybe I will.
I would like to see that.
You never know.
Well, a night for night would be tough.
Yeah.
To light properly with a flash and all that. And that was one of the ideas that I was going to pitch you, was sort of based a little bit on a day for night.
Okay.
So there you go. It's also a movie, by the way, a pretty good movie with Truffaut is in the. He's an actor in the movie, I think playing a director, about the movie process. It's called Day for Night. The movie's called Day for Night.
Okay, I'll look for it.
Halloween is the challenge for next week.
Yeah.
So there's that.
And then websites.
I'm just trying to remember when we're talking about Day for Night in photo. I did say change your white balance to tungsten, right?
You did say that, yes.
Or if you want to dial it in yourself, 3200 is about right.
Okay.
So if you want to do it later, the good news is if you shoot raw, you can then just obviously crank that over afterwards and make it exactly the color of blue that you want.
Yes.
As I mentioned, mine was very, very gray, and I dialed that blue in on purpose. Okay. I want to make sure I hammered that.
No, it's all covered, buddy.
Next week, Halloween.
Halloween.
Halloween photo. Something to do with Halloween. Bobbing for pumpkins. Let's do it. Okay. Websites.
Two Hosers Facebook for my stuff, and right. AdamSchwartz.ca.
AdamSchwartz.ca. Everybody check it out and send him messages. Just spam him about things.
Yeah. And your stuff.
I'm just going to post mine at AdamSchwartz.ca.
Okay. All right.
I'll give
you my password.
But all my B stuff will be at... Well, your password is probably just password.
Yeah.
I'm assuming.
Yeah.
All my stuff, my B-roll stuff that doesn't make it at AdamSchwartz.ca is at AlanAtridge.com. And the two of us at TwoHosers.com, where you can find links and whatnot to all the stuff we just talked about. That's it.
Great.
Until next week, get out there and... make better photos.